the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Welcome, everyone, to Beyond the Pitch. I'm very happy to be back. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Juan, and I'm going to say pleasure to be with you as I will be bringing you a lot of great guests, a lot of great personalities of the game, as they will add a little bit more flavor leading up to the World Cup and beyond, of course. Today, it just seemed appropriate, after everything that's happened, at least from a U.S. perspective, to bring in our guest for today. It's none other than the director of national teams for the Mexican FA, that, of course, being Denis Ticlose. Denis has a very extensive resume, has played in the Netherlands, was raised there, went to school in the Netherlands, graduated from the University of Amsterdam, and went over to Mexico, helped out with Hans Westerhoff as well, was a youth coach over at Tigres, was able to help Chivas win the title back in 2000, or was an integral part of helping from an administrative standpoint to help Chivas win what was back then their 11th league title back in 2006, and ended up moving over to Major League Soccer, where he was with Chivas USA, came back to Mexico and was working more with the Mexican FA as the youth director. He had various other positions within the Mexican FA, and of course the recent promotion that he got as national team director, as he oversees all the national teams. And, of course, he is working alongside former Indy 11 man Gerardo Torrado, who just retired this past year. In this interview, we talk a little bit about what Mexico's doing, how Mexico's planning the upcoming World Cup. What are some of the mindsets that Mexican football has right now, or the national team has right now leading up to the World Cup? Of course, the question everybody's asking, and he answered in a very simple manner, and it was very... I guess you could say it was one of those answers that really didn't need many words. He just said it was simple. We just went and talked to him. And, of course, I'm talking about Jonathan Gonzalez, that, of course, he understands the frenzy that there was, but he also... Well, you know what, Priya, I'll let him answer that because he has some interesting comments regarding that, and it'll be interesting to hear what Denis Ticlose has to say. Back here on Beyond the Pitch on NBC Sports, and I have the distinct pleasure of being able to be alongside a gentleman that I highly respect because of his trajectory throughout the world of football. Former footballer, has been with Chivas USA, has been with the Mexican national team in different functions. None other than Mr. Denis Ticlose. How are you doing, Denis, over in Mexico?
Hello, good morning. Doing well here. Very busy, obviously, with all our World Cup preparations and the game coming up next week in San Antonio against Bosnia, which for us actually is an important game to look at our local league players and the players that we have available, which we're very excited to be in San Antonio as from Monday.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, as far as the opponents that you've been picking or you as a collective have been picking, is it with a certain mindset to prepare the players for the opposition, or is it just to be able to give them minutes to better evaluate them, or is it a combination of both things as far as that's concerned?
Well, obviously, after the draw, we sat down with our coaching staff and our head coach to see at least the characteristics of the opponents from now until the World Cup. We should emphasize on, and sometimes that is not so easy because there's obviously different schedules and calendars for every federation. But I think little by little we're puzzling and putting together a plan that makes a lot of sense and that will have a good preparation and a good show out for our team going towards the World Cup.
And not only that, Dennis, you and Juan Carlos Osorio and his coaching staff and everyone pretty much as a group have been able to do, and that interested me a great deal, was the planning not just of the team, but the different types of plans that you have for each of the players that are within the player pool. Hey, this is what you need to do to be prepared. How has that been received by the players? How has that been received by the teams that they play for, whether it be in Europe, in Mexico, and even here in the United States? Yes. How has that been taken?
Well, I think one of the things that we try to do at the Mexican Federation is communicate as much as possible and as good as possible and be as transparent mm-hmm. as we can towards the clubs, obviously, where the players are. And if you see the involvement of Mexican football over the last year, there's a lot of players that now emigrate to Europe. Obviously, there's more important players within MLS clubs at the moment. Mm. And it is very important to communicate and be transparent on all the activities that we have and also the things that basically we see still an improvement or where we could be improving upon with our players. And mainly, obviously, the important part is that they play. But mm-hmm. in some cases that is not so easy, or that is sometimes a little bit out of the hands, obviously, of our hands, obviously, mm-hmm. and then to be able to compensate and to be able to be fit and athletically prepared and mentally prepared, mm-hmm. I think that is something that the Federation stands for and try to be as communicative as possible towards clubs and players.
Yeah, it interested me because one of the things that Juan Carlos Osorio did mention was the mental aspect, getting them prepared, not just understanding what they have to do on the pitch, but overall from a developmental standpoint, in not just being able to be prepared for a match, but also be prepared for what goes on in their careers and in their life. A lot of motivation, a lot of those types of things. Tell me a little bit more about that. How integral is that part of the game for these players? I mean, they're all professional, let's be honest, but how much yes. does that help a little bit more, a little bit less for them?
No, I think the more we can create a professional environment within our federation and take advantage of all the possibilities that we have, nutrition-wise, sleeping-wise, our personal development, mm-hmm. coaching staff, and the people that we involve, we have a direct relationship with a sports coach that's based in Spain, and it comes in and helps us with our full national team program. We have a psychology department mm-hmm. within our federation that helps in our youth development, and I think when they grow into this program and they step up to a full men's national team. Mm-hmm. It is not so strange that there is a lot of emphasis on nutrition, a lot of emphasis on rehab, on extra work off the pitch. We're trying to be aware of obviously what our players do and where their values and their family values stand for off the field also, because in the end it impacts the commitment towards our program and representing their country.
And it does. I mean, in the shows, because I mean, from my perspective, having seen. Your under 17, seeing your under 20s and the parents and the support that they give in tournaments, especially last year. The examples I give obviously are the under 20 championship as well as the under 17s. Mm. If there was a group of fans or a group of family that went to support, one of them happened to be the Mexican national team. So it just shows you how much of a family support system there is and how much you encourage that as well, correct?
Yeah, there's a big pride, obviously, within the families if their kids represent their country. I think it's something that goes very deep into their roots in Mexico and has to be taken advantage of on one side also from us and also be supported. I think it is something very special if the family can support their kids and their sons and their daughters, obviously. In the programs that we have, and we try to do our best to be apart from that as professional and as first class as possible, because obviously with the players that we have currently in programs like Roma, Frankfurt, in West Ham, and formerly Real Madrid or Manchester United or our clubs that, that we directly communicate with, that it is our basically our obligation also to be similar or better than what they're offered at their club level, and that is obviously a big challenge. But I think little by little we're improving, and we're always looking to improve our program and be good about the business that we do.
And it's interesting you mentioned those examples, the West Hams, the Eintracht Frankfurt, all those clubs where you happen to have players on your national team. What's the communication that you, Professorio, and many of the other staff have to have in order to kind of keep them focused? Because, I mean, in your experience as a player at one point or another in your career, and if you weren't playing, you'd start to say, well, I don't know, you start to drift off a little bit. Is your effort really also in order to keep them in tune with the big picture as well, not just what's going on in the present moment?
Yeah, it depends a little bit on the individual player, obviously. I think, for example, at this moment, a good example is Hector Moreno, who's had a great career so far and has a great career. He's at Roma at this point, where his minutes are somewhat reduced. But if you speak to him, he's very mature. He's training every day. He's doing things extra. He has great communication with the clubs on to see what he should be working on, and he's trying to take advantage as much as possible of the current opportunity that's been given, and not looking too much or stressing too much about the situation that if he plays or if he doesn't play, he's just waiting for the moment. He'll grab his opportunity when he gets one. And I think, but it has to do with the maturity of players. Sometimes for younger players, it's a little bit more difficult to focus on big picture and on to see where their career would end. In the end, it's also a different situation of somebody of Hector's caliber that has already been in big clubs and has already played a lot of games at everywhere he's been. And so the opportunities to also go somewhere else or to have an opportunity to play somewhere else are normally a little bit more open than for younger players that are starting. And, but it is a process that I think for every federation in the world is quite natural and is quite normal. And for the end, for our coaching staff and the communication that, for example, Gerardo Torrado has with the players, he just went to Europe and visited six clubs in different countries and has a good communication with the sports director, with the medical department, and obviously with the players directly. I think that benefits our program in the end.
We're here with Denis de Close here on Beyond the Pitch. And Denis, it's interesting that you mentioned the fact that Gerardo Torrado is part of that group of individuals. And of course, he has a relationship having played with the vast majority of that Mexican national team throughout his career. Tell me now, when he switches roles, what kind of an influence does he have? What kind of importance or reverence do these players have towards a player of his trajectory throughout his career that really sets him apart and makes him such an important part of your team?
Yeah, in the end, I think him being present on three World Cups and almost reached the mark of 150 international games and played so many games, and I think his personality as a serious and educated guy that really wants to basically support the program with the experience that he has is for us very, very valuable. The experience as a player he had on the different World Cups, also with issues off the field, is very valuable for us. And for us going towards Russia, we take a lot of weight in his opinion as an ex-player and as a very serious guy also in his assessment and what he goes about in his business that he does at the moment. And I think that is very much something that we can take advantage of and that we should take advantage of and have an experience for the players based on his experience that is a little bit different this World Cup. For example, how we treat the families, where when we have days off, and when we travel, when we don't, and as a player perspective, that is very valuable, and more so with so much experience. Obviously, it's different one if you speak to a young guy that just started his career, but he's been all over the place in Europe, in the U.S., and in Mexico.
Is that preparation any different than compared to last time around when you guys were at Santos preparing for or in your camp for the World Cup? Is that a little bit different compared, or do you try and stay along the same lines? Or what is it you're doing different now? Or that's what I'm trying to look at.
Well, the time frame is very short, to be honest, now with the league that ends in Europe and obviously here and everywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
The leagues are ending middle of May, and then middle of June the first games already at the World Cup start. So the time frame for the coach to prepare, to travel, to organize, to basically have everything in place to be 100% for our first game is limited. So
yeah,
we need to be very specific on the games that we commit to. We need to be very clear on our organizational structure and itineraries, when we go and when we travel, taking advantage of obviously a big support from the Mexican Federation and the clubs here towards our program. But that is very detailed programming, because there's not so much time. And to be honest, I think Russia is very well prepared for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. They're very strict. They're obviously world famous for their security and discipline and disciplinary regulations. And I think that goes well towards a big event like this, that it's well organized and everything is in place. So we should take advantage of that. We have a great base camp.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the final discussions of organizing our preparation program. Hopefully tomorrow we can announce something more formal on that. Mm-hmm. And very happy with where we're at. But there's obviously a lot of things to do.
Yeah, Dennis, because you were mentioning a lot of the support from the federation, from the teams, I guess you could say. How much of that support are you getting from the teams, especially with releasing the players in a non-FIFA date? How much support have you been getting? Obviously, the list came out yesterday as far as the next group of matches. But how much support are you getting as far as the players that they will actually need in the next week or in the next couple of days?
You know, honestly, I think as long as everything's well discussed and organized, there's a sports committee based of 10 or 12 clubs, if I'm not wrong, that look at the calendars, look at their own calendars, and you can present your plans there. And as long as you do it organized and clearly argumented, there's no issue in this. And I must say that towards our youth program and also to our full national team program, we have a lot of support and we're very happy with that. And we have a very good and close relationship with the clubs on everything that we do.
Dennis, I want to go a little bit, just kind of shifting slightly, because of your background as a youth organizer or a youth coach, mm-hmm. if you will. How, from a Mexican standpoint, from Mexican Federation standpoint, is it a little bit worrying at times that you find that most of the more dominant in some positions that the Mexican national team doesn't have, let's say at times, having depth in certain positions up top in more attacking roles or in certain areas of the pitch? Juan Carlos Osorio mentioned especially as a left-footed central defender, for example, he's been talking about that a lot recently, that you have certain players in Liga MX that are partaking in those positions, but they're not Mexican. Is that something that you're looking for to see, to get more opportunities for young players? Is that evolving into more positive things? I mean, we're seeing the case, of course, of Ronaldo Cisneros and what he's been able to do. Do you see that other players are getting or will get the chance in the near future to have more opportunities?
I do think that Mexico has an enormous talent pool. I think that's been proven over the last 10 years with all the youth national team achievements that we had and we're having. I think there's not a lack of talent, not even close. I do think that sometimes it's a challenge in certain positions to gain an opportunity. That in the end, I think the league and the sports committee of the league is also aware of. So that they're for sure that there is discussions and there is activities that would improve on opportunities for young players. But on the other end, there's also there's young players at this moment that you look at and that have a bright future, like Cesar Montes, mm-hmm. like I would say actually Jonathan Gonzalez, Ronaldo Cisneros. There's obviously a lot of teams that their identity goes a little bit more towards developing their own players instead of buying. But there's different identities, and I think that's also very respectful. If you look at the competition level in Mexico, I think that has raised a lot in the last few years, which in the end also benefits young players and is everywhere in the world. The same as what I see at in Holland, for example. If you look at PSV and at Ajax, it's also not so easy for a youth player to take a chance at the first team when you have Lozano and you have Pereira and you have Sergio Arias in front of you. So I think it's everywhere in the world, and for sure in Mexico there is a discussion about that, and hopefully in the future there's more opportunities because there's more than enough talent. But it'll be little by little, and the kids that take their opportunity, like Eric Aguirre, Victor Guzman, I think that are very positives, and there's more and more players that are attracted, obviously, to clubs abroad, which is, I think, a positive evolution.
I just wanted to ask you that because from a non-Mexican, or even from an outside standpoint, even more so, it just seems like that's always a talking point coming from Mexico, be it, when the implementation of the 10-8 rule or whatever variation of that type of ruling. They'll first think, oh, you know, what about our young kids? What about this? What about that? Or is that something that's just more of a talking point for media or and mostly people on the inside say, no, not so much. It's things that are...
No, I don't think it's an issue, obviously, that needs to be addressed. But on the other hand, it depends on how you look at it. There's also a lot of positives. If you look at the goalkeeper at Tijuana, who's very young, you look at Santos, who plays young players, you look at Monterrey, that has Montes and Jonathan on the field, you look at Chivas, that is fully Mexican, you look at America, that obviously had an enormous boost of young players with Edson Álvarez, Diego Lainez, and Sebastián Córdoba. And Pachuca, that plays on the World Cup scene with players born 99, like Roberto de la Rosa and Eric Sanchez, which I think in the end, the difficulty sometimes is to get continuity. But there is more than enough talent, and I do think that also the clubs are aware that sometimes you have to choose on developing your own players and investing in that more than bringing from abroad players and being able to create probably a better identity for your own club.
Dennis Teclosa here on Beyond the Pitch. Dennis, man, you're naming one person that at this point I can't avoid asking you, and it's Jonathan Gonzalez. Yesterday, of course, or actually on Monday, Hercules Gomez here in the United States was talking about that issue, and he had confirmed with various people as far as what the United States didn't do to be able to bring in a player like Jonathan Gonzalez. What's Mexico done? Whatever you can talk about what you did to bring him in, but also what you're doing with other players that aren't necessarily born in Mexico. They're probably most likely born in the United States, that you're trying to bring them and at least keep them under consideration for national team responsibilities or national team observation.
Yeah. No, first of all, sorry. I would be very, very respectful on the efforts of U.S. soccer because it goes both ways. We've had Jesse Gonzalez considered as a highly rated goalkeeper in our program who switched federations last year. Same as Jonathan Gonzalez. Obviously, the case of Jonathan is a little bit more probably a media story because he starts for a big club like Monterrey at the moment. And he's very, very young, and that makes it interesting. And in the end, I think the efforts of U.S. soccer and the efforts of Mexico would probably be very similar and would be very according to the possibilities and needs that you have. In the end, there will always be these cases, but there's so many Mexican Americans in the U.S. That play there and that are looking for opportunities, and there's a lot of talent. And So on the women's side and on the men's side, these cases will be not as often, obviously, but they'll be going players back and forth, and there's no way to change that. And I think it's a personal decision, it's a family decision, and you have to be very respectful. And I think we've been at least very respectful towards Jonathan, also when he played for U.S. Soccer, when he was always on our list to be on youth national team camps.
Yeah.
And now we saw probably the opportunity a little bit more clear, and I think for him it's a big step and a big decision that took him a while to probably think about, because he's been very, very loyal to U.S. Soccer for a number of years, and the opportunity now to play for Mexico and to play for Mexico in different age categories still, I think is for him a positive one, and it will do good for his career, and I'm sure his makes his family proud.
Yeah, I mean, I ask you that because of the, and you're probably very well aware of it, of the mass hysteria, if you will, and I'm being a little bit hyperbolic as far as my description of it. I mean, there's been a lot of a media frenzy as far as his decision, and eventually what was done on one end, what wasn't done on the other, or vice versa, and that's why people were curious, like, what is Mexico doing to bring in these people? But at the same time, as you mentioned, there's been players that Mexico have lost. And you can even add a couple of years back when William Yarbrough was another that was being considered
Edgar Castillo. There's a few more. There's on the women's side, there's a few cases that it goes back and forth. And I think more than anything that what you do or what you don't do, I think it has to do in the end a lot with the necessity of players in a certain position and the quality that you currently have to be able to replace it with a player that has these conditions. I think in the end what we've done, we've been always very aware of his development. We've always been very close, obviously, to Monterrey. We've tried numerous times to convince him to play for youth national teams, where he's always been very loyal to U.S. soccer. And I think now was more or less probably the moment when he's played more games in the Mexican league, where probably his future is more on this side of the border than in the U.S., where his mindset would be a little bit more open. And we took advantage of that in a good way, in a positive way, I think, by obviously explaining, without any commitments and without any false promises, what his possibilities would be for the future within a program as Mexico. So he obviously would be able to fight for a spot on this World Cup, which is not easy, which the coach explained him what his competition is and which players he competes with. He's very well aware of that, but we'll give him an honest opportunity to show himself and to train and to make sure that the coaching staff has a feel for his quality. And if he is an option, well, you never know. And then in the end, his career is still young, and he is very young. So there's a long way to go still, and there's still a lot of opportunities for him to represent Mexico at different levels and at different events. And I think he's very much enthusiastic about that. Obviously, we play normally a prolific role at the Olympics, and he still has actually the age to play on an under-20 World Cup, which is incredible.
Tell me about it just seems ridiculous with some of the players that are so young and they mature so quickly and absorb so many lessons as far as the game.
You need a coach also to give you an opportunity and a club that supports that and the family that obviously can handle that. It's not easy and it's very much an achievement of Jonathan to be able to handle himself in a midfield which is basically surrounded with high salary players and experienced players that obviously probably also help him to make him look good. But in the end, it's a positive case for us, and we'll see where it takes us. We still don't have the official announcement of FIFA, but hopefully we get that soon so that we can involve him in our program.
So I mean, pretty much you guys said, look, this is our Jonathan. Here's the situation. We want you here. We know what you can do. What did he say? Look, this is what I want to do. Did they set any conditions as far as saying, look, you know, my son or I will play for the national team if this and this and that? Or he said
no. I think his curiosity and the family's curiosity was more that if he would have a real opportunity to be in our program at any level and at any time. Mm. And So I think you have to be honest about that. You can't make any false promises. You can't say you're going to get a spot on the World Cup if you switch federations, because that would be ridiculous. You can't guarantee anybody that. And in the end, what you can do is that you give him an open opportunity where he can fight for a spot, even though he's very young. Make him aware that he's young and that there's still a long way to go. But there is it is not a one-shot opportunity from now until the World Cup. There's World Cups. I think there's three or four more in his career that he can fight for. And that is, I think, the main main part of the fact that, that he wanted to do that. And I think that is very fair and that is very respectful. He's been very, very respectful towards his past in US soccer. And I think he does at this moment very well for Monterrey. And there's still obviously a lot of things that that he will and he will improve upon. And I think it's I hope and I ambition that it's going to be a positive story for Mexico. At least we added obviously a good player to our program in case we get the approval today or tomorrow.
Even though if he, let's say he goes and he ends up in the 30 man list, doesn't make it to the 23, just the experience and the camaraderie of being part of that group is, at least from my vantage point, that would be more
he'll, if everything goes through and the paperwork is fine, he'll get an honest opportunity like anybody else. And if he's 18 or if he's 28 or if he's 33, the options are open. One of the things I think is very positive about Juan Carlos Osorio is that he'll play the players. If they're young, you see the examples of Cesar Montes, Edson Alvarez, Jesus Gallardo. If he feels they're fit for what he wants, it doesn't really matter how old they are.
And speaking of that, Juan Carlos Osorio, I don't want to take too much time with you, Dennis, because I know you're very busy. As far as Juan Carlos Osorio, how have you seen him, first of all, evolve as a coach in the past 2 years? Through his ups and downs with the national team, but more importantly, how do you see him different compared to other coaches you've dealt with in Mexican football?
Well, first of all, he's a guy that is very, very passionate about his sport and about his job. He's he's completely, in the good sense of the word, crazy about creating opportunities for his players, training sessions, studying opponents, visiting clubs and players. And I sometimes think there's not enough days in the month for him to fill up with all the activities that he wants and that he has to do. And I think that speaks very well from him. Mexican national team coach position is a very difficult, stressful, and criticized position for every coach that's been here. That is sometimes very difficult to handle personally and family-wise, but I think he does a good job. He's an honest man. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that works hard, and I think and I hope, obviously, for everybody involved also that the last few months and the World Cup as a great event will be very positive for him and his family and every effort that he put into this program.
Yeah, as a Mexican colleague told me once, probably the two hardest jobs in Mexico are president and coach of the national team. And sometimes the president's a little bit more lax as far as the amount of stress he has to go through compared to the national team coach.
Yeah.
Dennis, one last question. What's the objective of Mexico? Is it still the infamous or famous Quinto Partido, the fifth match in the World Cup? Mm-hmm. Or is that mindset also limiting from the perspective that, you know, if you have that mentality, if you will, of playing not to lose, you end up losing anyway? Because, or is it because, what's the mentality there as far as, hey, we want to get as far as possible, but our objective is to get to quarterfinals?
No, honestly, the mindset of the players and the coaching staff is to play 7 games at this World Cup. Yeah. To go beyond the fifth game, to really make something different, to really create a different image for Mexico and set the tone for the future for generations and young kids that are coming into the program, obviously after the World Cup. And we have great illusion, and we're very enthusiastic about the way we've qualified, the way we've gone around our business, and there's a lot of people involved within the entire federation, from the president towards the secretary general to our commercial and every department that we're looking to the same direction. So hopefully that comes to a positive event this summer, and everybody can enjoy together the team and its performances.
Dennis, I wish I could talk to you more for like hours. I have a lot of questions, and I've always really liked your football mind as far as how you're able to analyze things and really give a lot of, I guess more of a grounded sense amidst all the madness that goes on within Mexican football at times. And I'm not, I guess I'm not
That's an
exaggerating.
interesting experience.
Yeah, it's an interesting experience to say the least. And you give a very grounded, very, you know, very calm and very centered type of approach. And that's why I always wanted to speak to you. And I wish I could speak to you even more as far as that's concerned. Dennis,
I
thank you
appreciate
so much. Best of luck to you. I'll probably see you probably before, you know, you head out to Russia. And again, best of luck to you and the Mexican national team.
I appreciate anything we can help provide some more information or talk to you. Always more than welcome, and thank you for your time. And maybe we even see each other next week in San
Oh, hey, we never know. All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.